wife and she's drinking champagne. Have white skin, got assassin's eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire sky. A well-dressed man waiting on the last plane. Standing in the gallows with my head in the noose. Any minute now, I'm expecting all hell to break loose. Crazy and time to strain. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. This place ain't doing me any good. I'm in the wrong town, should be in Hollywood. Just a second there, I thought I saw something. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts, gonna dress in drag. Only a fool in here thinks he's got anything to prove. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy and time's a strain. I'm locked in tight, my brain. I used to care, but things have changed. Walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Someday the two hearts touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with a losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and time's strange. Tucked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I just don't show it. You can hurt someone and not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman who don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in late. I'm not that eager to make that mistake. Some people are crazy and time's strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
What a difference 24 hours can make. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Mike down here in Arizona land. Your mind is your primary weapon. Today is the 18th of June, 2018. It's a Monday, 1818. You're tuned in to Liberty Tree Radio. It's about 5 minutes after 8 a.m. Get back to our study of about colonial wars and the strategy of General Vo Nguyen Giap. Have some border news. My email address is altabib762@hotmail.com. That first two words phonetically, Alpha Lima Tango Hotel Alpha Bravo Echo Bravo 762@hotmail.com. You're listening in on Liberty Tree Radio. LibertyTreeRadio.4mg.com. And you can also listen by your telephone. The number is 712-432-0900. 712-432-0900. And then the recorded voice comes on and asks that you enter the room number, 957-464, and then the pound sign, and you'll be listening live on the call-in line. Now, if you'd like to contribute to today's broadcast, you can push *6, and that'll unmute your telephone, and say your piece, and then *6 to remute the line. 712-432-0900, and then 957-464 pound sign, and *6 to mute and to unmute. As always, they're sending this broadcast out to Lily, Grace, Antoinette. And also, just as a reminder, it seems that people are just finding out about Your Mind is Your Primary Weapon. This is an extension of Thursday and Friday's broadcast on the Micro Effect. Starts at the same time. The Micro Effect shows run for 2 hours, and we have a limited amount of time on Liberty Tree Radio on Mondays. So tell your friends. And upon the town hall meeting this week, and Edward had mentioned that there's quite a bit of listeners that have found out about this broadcast here on Liberty Tree Radio, and that it's an extension of the broadcast. They're kind of running not quite concurrent, but similar. Some of the information that we're presenting here on Mondays is we've covered before, but sometimes we have new listeners or people that weren't aware of the broadcasts. And so Monday is kind of a refresher course, or to bring you up to speed on the information of about insurgency and counterinsurgency and the aspects and the guerrilla warfare and the terrorism and the political subversives and all that aspect of that. So it's good that maybe if you had missed a few of those broadcasts at the beginning years and years ago, that it'll help expand your understanding of what we try to cover here. This is more of an educational type broadcast. It's not just running down the news items of the day and telling you thanks for being with us and I'll see you tomorrow for more problem reaction. But we actually cover things like strategy, tactics, training, leadership, planning, intelligence preparation of the battlefield, financing, field sanitation, organization, security, communications, medical, after action review, tracking, pretty much the whole gamut. of all the skill sets that are necessary to be able to understand how to wage or counter an insurgency. Now, once again, I kind of cringe when I hear that term counterinsurgency. As Sir Robert Granger Thompson pointed out, that you really don't want to counter the insurgents because that gets the idea in people's heads that you're waiting for the insurgents to react before the government can react, before they can counter what the insurgents are doing. I'll cover also quite a bit of information about what's going on south of the border, not just in Mexico, but Argentina, Guatemala, El Salvador, Brazil, Nicaragua, quite a few different deals that are going on that seems to be what's going on. This first one is insightcrime.org, and it's dated the 6th of June, 2018. Argentina advances laundering case against Pablo Escobar's wife, son. The widow and son of infamous drug lord Pablo Escobar, as well as a former soccer star, are accused of participating in money laundering scheme in Argentina involving another powerful Colombian crime boss, underlining Argentine authorities' effort to address the country's persistent attractiveness for foreign criminals. Federal Judge Moran Nestor Borrell determined on June 4 that there is a sufficient evidence to allow a money laundering case to proceed against Escobar's widow, Maria Isabel Santos Caballero, and her son, Sebastian Marroquin. Borrell agreed with the prosecution's accusations that Escobar's widow and son provided essential support for an operation that laundered millions of dollars in illicit proceeds belonging to Jose Piedrahita Caballeros, a suspected longtime drug trafficker who was arrested last year and is currently in Colombian custody facing extradition to the United States. This one for you Rambo fans. Insightcrime.org, 6 June 2018. Don't expect nuanced view of crime when Rambo takes on Mexican cartel. The venerable action hero John Rambo is plotting a return to the silver screen, and he is taking his talent for mayhem and vengeance to Mexico. While fans may find the film entertaining, it's unlikely to present the nuanced look at the country's organized crime problems. Reports first emerged in early May that Sylvester Stallone was planning to begin work on a new Rambo film in September. In his fifth installment of the series, set to be released in 2019, the fictional former Special Forces soldier will track down a friend's daughter who was abducted by a drug cartel in Mexico. After visiting destruction on rural Washington State, Vietnam, Afghanistan, and Burma, the coming film will mark Rambo's first foray into Latin America. The movie also signals a new interest in criminal groups. In prior installations, the titular hero, chief adversaries have been authoritarian government forces. Rambo's Mexico project follows years of increased interest in Mexican organized crime in Hollywood, which has come against the backdrop of a larger spate of entertainment products based on narco culture themes. Borderlandbeat.com, 6 June 2018, 13 years in prison for the Betty LaFay brothers of El Señor de los Cierros, Armando Carrillo Fuentes. A federal judge sentenced Alberto Carrillo Fuentes, Betty LaFay, to 13 years and 8 months in prison. He is alleged to have assumed the leadership of the Juarez cartel, together with his brother Vicente Carrillo Fuentes, El Viceroy. Betty LaFay was found responsible for crimes against health as well as carrying arms and ammunition in his possession for exclusive use of the armed forces. Alberto Carrillo was detained in August 2013 by elements of the federal police in the locality of someplace in Nayarit, together with diverse firearms, ammunition, and narcotics. The sentenced is the brother of Armando Carrillo Fuentes, El Señor de los Cielos, who, after his death in 1997, left the cartel in the hands of his brother, Vicente Carrillo, El Viceroy. Alberto is detained in Hotel de la Rivera Nayarit, where he was hiding 1 year before his capture. His name became known because of publicity in Narcomantas located in Ciudad Juarez and the capital city of Chihuahua. 6 June 2018, six unarmed transit police in Salamanca want the Hutu slaughtered, video and article. There are at least four cartels in Guantajuato, but the principal players are the Los Zetas from Tamaulipas, a faction of the Cartel de Noreste, and the Cartel Jalisco Nueva Generacion. In 2013, a large number of Zeta operators emigrated to the state of to colonize it. They are the alleged perpetrators of the massacre, but all of the cartels mentioned above have a reputation for extreme violence with zero regard for consequences. And this is from Milenio. On Friday, six policemen from Salamanca who were unarmed were killed by gunmen in the La Gloria neighborhood during an operation. The Guantajuato Attorney General's office said five of the policemen died on the site. The other died when he received medical attention. The attack occurred near the military headquarters in Sariba, where Governor Miguel Marquez was heading to a meeting with authorities and the three-level government. The meeting was to review actions to strengthen security. Officials confirmed to Milenio that the agents were this guy, that guy, the victims placed at a stop on Calle Sol, 50 meters from Soto Elementary School. And according to the witnesses, shortly after 11 in the morning, the crew of gray Jeep-type trucks passed by and fired. There were five of those who came in the van, said one witness, mentioning that the attackers approached the agents and fired directly. Borderlandbeat.com, 6 June 2018. La Garra, the bloodthirsty CJNG leader that little is reported about. The Cartel Jalisco New Generation is the youngest transnational criminal organization, but also the most powerful in Mexico and the United States, according to the DEA. Therefore, the leaders of the organization automatically became most wanted criminals. Nemesio Guaya Cervantes, a.k.a. El Mencho, is the supreme leader and therefore the number one public enemy for Mexico and U.S. authorities. However, working for him is a drug trafficker of whom little has been spoken of and who represents a key role in CJNG. Jose Luis Mendoza Cardenas, a.k.a. La Garra, appears in the National Drug Threat Evaluation of DEA. U.S. authorities place La Garra in the trio of leaders of the CJNG, along with El Mencho and Abigail Gonzalez Valencia, a.k.a. El Queenie, detained on March 2, 2015 in Puerto Vallarta. Unlike Asguera Cervantes and Gonzalez Valencia, who was widely investigated, Mendoza Cardenas seems a drug trafficker working in the shadows. From what little is known about him is that he was arrested in 2008 before CJNG was known as Cartel Jalisco New Generacion. He was arrested on August 1, 2008, along with six subjects for the atrocious murder of a family in Ciudad Guzman on July 25 of that year. The multi-homicide shook all of Jalisco. Of the six members of the family who were murdered, three were minors, a 17-year-old boy, as well as two girls of 8 and 7 years old. Borderlandbeat.com, 7 June 2018. Marinas lose control at protest in Jalisco, have to call in the municipalities. Ciudad Guzman, at least three people were wounded by bullets after elements of the Navy fired into the air to disperse a demonstration against enforced disappearances in the municipality of Zapoplan El Grande in southern Jalisco and ended in violent clashes between civilians and sailors. Although a peaceful protest was called at 4:30 p.m. Monday afternoon on the outskirts of the municipal seat, about 200 people protested the cases of disappearances of people in the state and consider those responsible elements of the Secretariat of the Navy of Mexico, CIMAR. According to local media, El Sur Jalisco, a group of young people, some with their faces covered with handkerchiefs and banners, struck out the four tires of a truck in which sailors, i.e. Marines, who were sent to guard and protect us, surrounded the vehicles. The youth threw stones, sticks, and other objects and wrote in the truck, "Rats, justice, effing thieves," and the acronym CJNG, which identifies the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. This went on for 2 hours. The Marines caught up in the middle. BorderlandBeat.com, 7 June 2018, TAN headquarters in Tamaulipas attacked. Ciudad Victoria, Tamaulipas. La Salle Rota, the headquarters of the PAN State Committee in Tamaulipas, was attacked by gunmen this morning. There are no injuries. Neighbors at the headquarters of the offices of the National Action Party commented that around 5:30 today, two bursts of large caliber firearms were heard. The offices were without staff, and the watchmen on the upper floors so was not injured. The preliminary report from the agents of the investigative police made an expert ballistic survey stating that there were more than 25 bullet marks in the facilities. Well, it's all like Donkey Kong, like we say. It always seems to be going on down in Mexico. I still have a couple more news items, but being that we have a limited amount of time, I try to keep things going here at a rather fast clip. Now, the other day, we're talking about the colonial wars post-World War II, and the French experience and the strategy and the tactics of Vo Nguyen Diep, and how the Viet Minh won in Indochina. There was a lot of the provoking of the hostilities when the French came in post-World War II. Remember, the French got overrun in Europe, and their places in Indochina that wasn't only Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, that when they, after the end of hostilities in World War II, the Chinese, the nationalist Chiang Kai-shek's troops were to be sent into what became North Vietnam, and I think it was the British were going to be back in South Vietnam, but the only troops that Chiang Kai-shek could send were about 20,000 pretty much ragtag troops in southern China, and eventually the troops under Mao Zedong actually came in and pretty much took over, but Ho didn't really like that because he's been quoted as saying, the last time the Chinese were here, they stayed for 1,000 years, so they really weren't hoping, or they did not want the Chinese to come back in. So at the first shots of the imperialist invasion, and this is a quote by General Ziap of about the French, and the General Leclerc estimates that the reoccupation of Vietnam would be a military walkover. When encountering resistance in the south, the French generals considered it weak and temporary and stuck to their opinion that it would take 10 weeks at most to occupy and pacify the whole of South Vietnam. Why did the French colonialists make such an estimate? Because they considered that to meet their aggression, there must be an army. And it was not possible for them to understand the fundamental and decisive fact. The Vietnamese army, although weak materially, was a people's army. And in provoking the hostilities, the colonialists had alienated a whole nation, and indeed the whole Vietnamese nation, the entire Vietnamese people rose against them. And unable to grasp the profound truth, the French generals, who believed in an easy victory, went instead to certain defeat. And allowing for the rhetorical exaggerations, there is still much in what General Ziap says, and the French forces, concentrating on strong points and other objectives of conventional war strategy, found themselves submerged in a sea of armed people. The arms, in the main, came from the French Expeditionary Corps, which, says Ziap, became unwittingly the supplier of the Vietnam People's Army with French, even U.S. arms. And as for the organization of the resistance, Ziap notes that it was primarily political and only secondarily military. Quote, our party advanced that, or advocated that. To launch a people's army, it was necessary to have three kinds of armed forces. It attached great importance to the building and development of self-defense units and guerrilla units. Militia was set up everywhere. Thanks to the founding of the People's Administration everywhere in the countryside and the existence of the party branches in every place, the militia spread far and wide and the people rose to fight in the enemy's rear. Guerrilla units, in coordination with the regular army, scattered and wore out the enemy, nailed them to their bases so that our regular army could launch mobile fighting to annihilate them. They turned the enemy rear into our front line and built guerrilla bases as starting points for our regular army's offense right in the heart of the enemy. They protected the people and their property. They fought the enemy and kept up production and frustrated the enemy's schemes to use war to feed war and Vietnamese to fight Vietnamese. In the free zone, guerrilla units effectively fought the enemy and kept watch on traitors. They were effective instruments for the local administration and local party. At the same time, they were the shock forces in production, transport, and supply. And through combat and work, the guerrilla units became an inexhaustible and precious source of replenishment for the regular army, supplying it with men and officers who were politically well-educated and rich in fighting experience. End quote. Now, both sides made serious mistakes in the early phase of the eight-year struggle. The French, for their part, devoted a full 5 months of 1947 in the fruitless task of attempting to capture Ho Chi Minh and his staff, thinking in this way to cut short the war. The effort was wasted. And even if they had captured Ho, it probably would not have affected the course of the war, and the outcome of which depended not on individual military genius, but on the strategy dictated by the political military situation, a strategy that any communist leader, aware of the lessons of China, would have applied. Now, here it may well be to observe that, in a very great extent, guerrillas fight as they do because they must. Their situation determines their course of action. Lacking the heavy weapons and disciplined divisions which fight conventional military campaigns, they are confined, as Clausewitz put it, to nibbling at the edges of the opposing army and fighting in the enemy's rear areas. Materially unable to face a military decision, they must of necessity await a political decision, and in a revolutionary situation, political decisions will tend to favor their side, since these will come in the course of a protracted war which the enemy is neither politically nor psychologically able to stand, whatever the condition of his military force. I see they've got about a minute before the bottom. Try and get this last quote in here from General Ziap, because as General Ziap analyzed the situation of the French, quote, the enemy will pass slowly from the offensive to the defensive. The blitzkrieg will transform itself into a war of duration. Thus, the enemy will be caught in a dilemma. He has to drag out the war in order to win it and does not possess, on the other hand, the psychological and political means to fight a long, drawn-out war. end quote. Now, of course, Ziap proved to be correct. Political pressures in France, the low morale of the pro-French sector of public opinion in Vietnam, and the sagging morale of the troops themselves as the war dragged on, seriously weakened the efforts of the Expeditionary Corps. The country was swarming with guerrilla units that were organized in virtually every village. Viet Minh regulars were making rapid force marches through the jungles to strike a French column here, a small garrison there, and were rapidly arming new units with weapons seized from the enemy, as well as heavier equipment smuggled from China. And by the end of 1949, the French had lost the initiative and the Viet Minh had seized it to such an extent that the latter were able to launch a limited offensive with 15 battalions sealing off part of the Red River Delta in Tonkin from the Thai Highlands. So we got the bottom of the hour here. We have the bottom of the hour break coming in here any second now. And when we get back, we'll continue with our block of instruction about colonial war and the French experience.
My parents and talk about raised me on an accomplishment system.
Thank you.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike down here in Arizona land. Your mind is your primary weapon. Today's date is the 18th of June, 2018. It's Monday, 18-18. Liberty Tree Radio. It's about 36, 37 minutes after 8 a.m. Arizona time. The first 30-minute block of instruction, we covered over several news items, anything from Argentine government indicting Pablo Escobar's wife and son in money laundering, Rambo's new movie, shooting of a bunch of police officers, traffic police, unarmed traffic police in Mexico, et cetera, and the mayhem that's occurring down there. My email address is altabeeb762@hotmail.com, altabeeb762@hotmail.com. Touch on a little bit about Bob Miner here. He does say thank you for your telephone calls and for helping him out and the words of encouragement. If you'd like to call and leave a message, a brief message for Bob, the telephone number is 701-251-2365. 701-251-2365. A voice will come on, ask if you'd like to speak to Bob and if you'd like to purchase a phone card. And then it'll ask you to enter in the first three letters of his last name, M-I-N, translates out to 646. And then it'll say leave a message after the tone, and you'll have, oh, about 7 to 10 seconds to give some words of encouragement. If you'd like to send a letter, Bob is in need of paper. He's going through with a fine comb the information and to document these contradictory statements by CPS and the prosecutor, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you can't just send blank paper. It's, you know, you're cutting in on the outrageous prices they charge there. But if you print off a news item from the internet to help encourage Bob and to let him know what's going on, and the back of the paper is blank, then he can flip it over and continue his taking notes and points of about what's going on. So it's Bob Miner, or Robert Miner, M-I-N-E-R, S-C-C-C, that would be Sierra Charlie, 205 6th Street Southeast, Suite 201, Jamestown, North Dakota, 58401. Robert Miner, SCCC, 205 6th Street Southeast, Suite 201, Jamestown, North Dakota, 58401. Being at the abbreviated amount of time we have on today's broadcast, I'm just not going to go into too much. We might touch on this on Thursday and Friday, and now Bob had a 50 caliber rifle and several thousand rounds of some pretty good top quality ammunition, and the prosecutor and the people talked about it and said, but he had this rifle and all this ammunition, and now supposedly nobody knows where the ammunition went. But wait a minute, where's the chain of evidence? Where's the you made comments here in court depositions and statements in hearings that in fact that it that was in your possession. So where did it go? I'm sure it ended up in somebody's stockpile. The telephone number here for Liberty Tree Radio, 712-432-0900. The room number is 957-464, and then the pound sign. And if you'd like to come up, then you can push star 6 to unmute your phone. Thanks for taking the time to tune in today. Please tell your friends about it, and please help support Liberty Tree Radio. that's kind of another thing. There's one person that's putting the bill, and it costs $300 a year to pay for me to run my mouth on 1 hour, 1 day a week. And it's really not fair that the one person has to foot this bill. Now, you know that I don't sit here and ask for contributions every day and beg and turn it into a begathon or anything, and I'm certainly not going to do that today. But sometime up by within the next 6 months, if you want to continue hearing your mind is your primary weapon, I would suggest that you make some arrangements to, we'll figure it out. We're kind of kicking some ideas around. Either you could send it directly to the Liberty Tree Radio site or something maybe about a post office box, but we haven't quite figured out of exactly what that's going to do. You know, broadcasting isn't free. I do a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to make this about me, but, you know, I don't have a computer here, so I have to travel a great distance to collect the information, get the information collated, and to try to present it. And I'm willing to do that because it's important to me to get the information out, because it doesn't seem that I don't hear it on any other network that other than maybe when El Chapo Guzman was captured and extradited to the United States, that nobody's talking about the mayhem in Mexico or Nicaragua. Let's see a show of hands. I covered the deal of about these violent protests, and at least 100 people have died in Nicaragua. Has anybody heard that on any other network, whether it's our side of the fence or on the other side? But it all seems to be about President Trump and the Russians and the President Trump and the poor illegal aliens in cages and blah, 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 and everything else. As always, we send this broadcast out to Lily, Grace, Antoinette. And also, as just one last reminder before we get back to our block of instruction about insurgency and guerrilla war and colonial war and Generals Yap and Mao Zedong and Ho Chi Minh, that we also have a broadcast on the micro effect on Thursday and Friday at this same time frame, but it actually goes for 2 hours on Thursday and Friday, starting at the same time, right after the Intel report in the morning. Now, we were talking about how the protracted struggle plays into the hands of the insurgents and the Viet Minh regulars. They were making rapid force marches through the jungle, and the French were guarding the roads and the intersections, but they didn't have a very good working knowledge of about the jungle and the tracks and everything. And this was kind of a long time before what we'd come to call the Ho Chi Minh Trail. But the Viet Minh were just being able, they'd hack the jungle trails through there, and they'd conceal the entrance to the trail. Sometimes they'd even take ropes and draw the branches up over the top so airplanes flying over wouldn't see anything except jungle, but down in underneath it there was a footpath going through. They were even using elephants, in like Hannibal did in Vietnam. No, Hannibal was not in Vietnam, but they were using elephants to transport stuff. So what they did is the Viet Minh, they marched through the jungle to strike at the French columns or the garrisons, and then rapidly arming new units from the weapon seized from the enemy. And by the end of 1949, the French had lost the initiative, and the Viet Minh had seized it to such an extent that the latter was unable to launch a limited offensive with 15 battalions and sealing off part of the Red River Delta in Tonkin from the Thai Highlands. And then in the spring, a larger offensive was launched against French defenses in the Red River Valley. And by the summer, the entire northeastern corner of Tonkin had been converted into a Viet Minh stronghold. And then the political pressure in France predictably worked for the Viet Minh. And in August 1950, the French government actually ordered a reduction of the French forces in Indochina by 9,000 troops, ignoring the military realities of the situation there entirely, and the National Assembly, yielding to the popular anti-war sentiment at home, required assurances that no military conscripts would be used in Indochina. So in other words, it was to be a police action carried out by professional, principally foreign legion, Moroccan, and other non-French troops. And then the inevitable result was a further weakening of the French war efforts and a new offensive on the part of the Viet Minh. An entire string of garrisons in northern Tonkin were cut off from their base. A Moroccan task force of 3,500 men and a garrison force of 2,600 men and 500 civilians seeking to escape from the entrapment were ambushed and destroyed, and three battalions of paratroopers sent to their rescue met the same fate. Now, in the book, The Two Vietnams, Bernard Fall writes, quote, by the end of the month of October 1950, almost the whole northern half of Vietnam had become a Viet Minh redoubt, into which the French were, with the brief exception of a paratrooper raid on Lang Song in July of 53, never to penetrate again. When the smoke had cleared, the French had suffered their greatest colonial defeat since Montclair had died at Quebec. They had lost 6,000 troops, 13 artillery pieces, 125 mortars, 450 trucks and three armored platoons, 940 machine guns, 1,200 submachine guns, and more than 8,000 rifles. Their abandoned stocks alone suffice for the equipment of a whole Viet Minh division. For the French, Falk concludes, the Indochina War was lost then and there. That it was allowed to drag on inconclusively for another 4 years is a testimony to the short-sightedness of the civilian authorities who were charged with drawing the political conclusion from the hopeless military situation. Now, American military aid, the first trickle of which was made an appearance in the form of seven transport planes in June of 1950 after the Korean War had broken out, was to make no difference whatever in the eventual outcome of the war, end quote. Now, the progress of the Viet Minh was slowed to some extent by General Ziap's premature decision at the end of 1950 to begin a general offensive, and the attempt to force the campaign into Mao's decisive third stage of revolutionary war, the strategic offensive, when the situation was not yet ripe, cost the Viet Minh heavily. In a single clash in the Red River Delta area, June 16 to 17, Ziap lost 6,000 men. And when he tried to seize the port of Haiphong in March of 51, he was again defeated, and in June, a third drive for control of the Delta likewise failed. And thereafter, the Viet Minh wisely transferred their efforts to more promising objectives, in particular, to control of the highland areas where heavy artillery, air power, and armor could not be brought fully into play, and the French had to fight on the Viet Minh's terms. And the key military problem for the French in Indochina was a lack of manpower. And their main political problem was lack of support on the home front. Diplomatic pressures added to these problems, and the Viet Minh strategy was flexible. That of the French was comparatively rigid, so that time and again the Expeditionary Corps was caught off balance. And the lack of manpower meant that too few troops were required to cover too much territory, with the result that the Corps was unable to meet the lightning blows of fast-moving Viet Minh mobile divisions when these concentrated for an offensive, and when the French themselves went on the offensive and tried to concentrate their forces to seize the initiative in a given sector, the Viet Minh guerrilla action elsewhere along the line made them spread out again. And moreover, the Viet Minh strategy, being political as well as military, was designed to increase the political and psychological pressure on the enemy, and was singularly successful in accomplishing the objectives. And the point is well illustrated by Ziap's invasion of Laos in early spring of 53. The invasion was launched with three Viet Minh divisions, supported initially by some 4,000 Pathet Lao guerrillas in opposition to only 3,000 French troops backed by the Laotian army of 10,000 men. And rather than sacrifice the thinly manned frontier garrison, the French command ordered them to withdraw, leaving only a single battalion to offer rearguard resistance. The battalion was lost. Only four men survived. And another garrison retreating inland lost all but 180 of its 2,400 troops in the disastrous fighting withdrawal. So we're coming up on the end of the broadcast here. Once again, if you'd like to call in, the limited amount of time we have, the telephone is 712-432-0900, and the room number is 957-464, and then the pound sign. If you'd like to unmute your phone, press *6, and we can maybe discuss some finer points of the French Indochina, the tactics, the strategy, and the overall parts and pieces of about insurgency. And if not, we'll continue our block of instruction here about the disaster. We haven't even got to Dien Bien Phu yet. It's still another 4 years down the road. So, and it kind of reminds me of what had happened in World War II when the Japanese went and occupied China and Korea and Malaya and the Philippines and Vietnam. Their idea was, because they didn't have a lot of material mineral wealth, so they went in and stripped the trees out of Korea. They went into Malaya and got a lot of the rubber for the tires, rubber plantations, and the idea was to get in and get out after they had extracted enough material wealth to continue their war effort. And then because the insurgents in the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaya, and China were able to fight back against the Japanese occupation and turn it into a protracted struggle. And that's the whole deal. So we got about 5 minutes left. So if anybody would like to, you know, call in and things, or in words of encouragement, or tell me I suck, or whatever you want to talk about, that would be fine with me. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. I would like to say thanks for taking the time to tune in today to Your Mind is Your Primary Weapon. And thank you for helping supply and support Liberty Tree Radio, because this broadcast isn't for free. There are computers, electricity, bandwidth, all kinds of added expenses. And so many hands make for light work. And if you'd like to see this broadcast continue after January of 2019, I don't expect the person that footed the bill for this first year to be able to pick it up and run with it the next year. So that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Maybe we'll play the Jeopardy theme in case anybody would like to chime in here and do. But I would like to say thanks for taking the time to tune in, and it was encouraging that what was said on the town hall meeting, that quite a few people are listening in on the broadcast on Mondays for Liberty Tree Radio, because they perceive that as an extension of the broadcast on the Micro Effect. And I'm not sure what's going on with that deal of about shortwave this, Liberty Tree Radio that, the satellite, and all those things. I just run my mouth here on the broadcast. I'm not in the decision-making loop, so I'm not sure of exactly all those parts and pieces of it. But the point is what we're trying to do is, when we sit here and talk on a network as if it's the only network out here, it was kind of like the interview that we did with Ted Midward, that his people are in their pond or their bubble, and they're not aware of other broadcasts. And one day he was listening to the Intel report with Mark and Don, and then after the broadcast he had continued to listen and stumbled quite by accident on Your Mind is Your Primary Weapon. And being that he was interested in guerrilla warfare and insurgency and those aspects of it, so he started listening and then realized it was important because they have listeners over here in my pond or our pond, whether it's on Liberty Tree Radio or the Micro Effect, but they're not aware of Ted's pond. So if we can introduce each other to the ponds of it is, then we can continue to grow, because staying stagnant and working independently is not a very effective strategy. We are only playing into the enemy's hands when people call in or talk show hosts call and criticize other talk shows. There's an adage of about your success is not contingent on others' failure. And we're only playing into the enemy's hands when we lapse into this deal of about, I just heard a ding, so I don't know if this is somebody calling in to.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I want to thank you. This is Jim in Illinois, man. I just thank you very much. I appreciate for contributing your time and your energy to do the broadcast. And hopefully, I hear Ed's working on the archives, so hopefully soon we'll have the archives up and people will be able to get shows that they missed or at a time convenient for them for their schedule. That's
yes.
Really all I had to say. And hope everybody had a great Father's Day out there, and I hope everybody remembered our Heavenly Father too. With that, I'm going to get on the side there. Thank you very much.
Well, very good. Thank you very much for your words of encouragement. And, you know, Jim had mentioned the deal of about the archives, and just because you can go to Liberty Tree Radio and download the archives for free, technically, they may cost you nothing, but they did cost something to purchase the computers, the bandwidth, the time, and all the other added expenses, the electricity for that. So I would ask that if you would see in your heart that you could help support Liberty Tree Radio and the Micro Effect in these endeavors to grow our ponds and introduce other people to the ponds of what's the real big picture, and not turn into a bunch of children on the playground squabbling. I was taught by my parents when I was growing up something along the lines of, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. But now I don't know if the reasoning behind some people that's all they've turned their broadcast into is criticizing another talk show host. And I'm not sure what that part is, and I'm not going to waste airtime on the National Enquirer, he said this, he said, she said, and that wasn't this, but I'm sure you've all heard what I'm talking about, so I don't need to reiterate and drive my point home, but I can tell you that one thing, that this needs to work, but we're playing into the enemy's hands, and I've talked about this before, mainly on the Micro Effect of about this concept, this flawed concept of about leaderless resistance. It sounds good. Oh, but you see, if we all group up, then they can find out who we all are, and they can decapitate the leadership, and the militia and the patriot movement will fall apart. Yeah. And there's even a publication, and there was some guy who was military intelligence, and he wrote this, and some guy named Beam, and this and that and everything. But once we look into the historical part of the leaderless resistance that was picked up by Carlos Magarella, or however you pronounce his name, in his Urban Guerrilla tactics and Che Guevara. Maybe we can ask them how that strategy of leaderless resistance turned out as a dismal failure. Now, I'm not saying necessarily initially that everybody has to fall under some big giant United States unified command, because, you know, just as has happened up there in Harney County, Oregon, where there were 50 people and 25 of them were government informants. Or at least that's what we know. But we don't even know how many of them were actually outright undercover federal agents. So we have to be careful. I'll agree with that. But this, I'll play in my pond, you play in your pond, you mind your own business, you can't tell me what to do, is doomed to failure. The Viet Minh got together under Ho Chi Minh and General Ziap and their cadre, and they proved out to be fairly effective. The Algerians got together and threw out the French. It appears to me that in Iraq and Afghanistan, they've gotten together, and they're pretty effective. So that's the lesson for today, is insurgency, guerrilla warfare, getting to introduce different people's pawns to different people's pawns, and trying to expand these blocks of instruction. And that's where your part comes in, ladies and gentlemen. Tell other people about the broadcast on the Liberty Tree Radio and the Micro Effect. And let's start introducing different pawns together, because generally we all see what the problem is. And remember, the three parts of about insurgency is the political subversives, the terrorists, and the guerrillas. And right now we are in the political subversive aspect, as to where we're raising the awareness to the people of the problems that are occurring in this country. And periodically, I don't listen to them all the time, but it seems like some of the broadcasts I've heard lately on Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, and again, I don't listen to them every day, all day, or anything like that, but periodically I'll come in out of the sun and get some water, turn on the radio to hear the top and the bottom of the hour news and things like that. And it strikes me as odd that the things that the Patriot Movement were talking about 10, 15 years ago are the very same things that Hannity and Limbaugh are talking about now. Well, you know, maybe they're just a little slow on the uptake, but at least they're moving in the proper direction, talking about the Federal Reserve, talking about the out-of-control media, and things like that. So it is being effective. One of these days they might be talking about insurgency. I'm not going to hold my breath, but at least they are raising the awareness, and I'm seeing a convergence of the lines that they've tried over and over again for years to try to demean the Patriot Movement and the militia movement at every stage of the events. But now I'm hearing them say things that are very similar to what we've been talking about and hammering about for years. I see we're about 4 minutes after the hour. I expect the music to come in any time now. But you're listening to the Liberty Tree Radio, and please help to support Liberty Tree Radio and the Micro Effect. Tell your friends, and I'll see you Thursday at 8 a.m. Arizona time for your next installment of Your Mind is Your Primary Weapon.
There's a woman on my lap and she's drinking champagne. Have white skin, got assassin's eyes. I'm looking up into the sapphire sky. Well-dressed man waiting on the land. Standing in the gallows with my head in the noose. Any minute now I'm expecting all hell to break loose. People are crazy and times are strange. Locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but
dystopian Hollywood. Just a second there, I thought I saw something. Gonna take dancing lessons to the jitterbug rag. Ain't no shortcuts, gonna dress in drag. Only a fool here thinks he's got anything to prove. Lot of water under the bridge, lot of other stuff too. Don't get up, gentlemen, I'm only passing through. People are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, my reign. Used to care, but things have changed. I've been walking 40 miles of bad road. The Bible is right, the world will explode. I've been trying to get as far away from myself as I can. Some days are too hard to touch. The human mind can only stand so much. You can't win with a losing hand. Feel like falling in love with the first woman I meet. Putting her in a wheelbarrow and wheeling her down the street. People are crazy and times are strange. Up and tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed. I just don't show it. You can hurt someone, not even know it. The next 60 seconds could be an eternity. Gonna get low down, gonna fly high. All the truth in the world adds up to one big lie. I'm in love with a woman who don't even appeal to me. Mr. Jinx and Miss Lucy, they jumped in late. I'm not that eager to make that mistake. Some people are crazy and times are strange. I'm locked in tight, I'm out of range. I used to care, but things have changed.
used to sit and wonder why, babe. You'll know by now. It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It doesn't matter anyhow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's alright. It ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. Light I never know. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. And I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's alright. There ain't no use in calling out my name, girl, like you never did before. There ain't no use in calling out my name, girl, I can't hear you anymore. I'm thinking and wondering, walking way down the road. Once loved a woman, a child I'm told. Gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's alright. So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I cannot tell. Goodbye is too good a word, babe, so I'll just say fairly well. No, I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. Just kinda wasted my precious time. Don't think twice, it's alright.
Yeah, babe. I just wish I could write something as beautiful as you are.
Hey, guys. I'm Arden Rose. I'm a content creator on the old YouTubes. I'm a writer, an actor, and I also wrote a book, Almost Adulting, which is a one-stop shop.